I'm very happy now to welcome Carolyn Kastner. She's curator at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum here in Santa Fe, and we're talking about the exhibition Georgia O'Keeffe and Ansel Adams, The Hawaii Pictures, which opened earlier in February. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. It's a fun show. I mean, Georgia O'Keeffe, who knew, and Ansel Adams both went to Hawaii at different times. O'Keeffe in 1939, Adams in the 1950s, each one on commission. What's the story behind each one, how they got there?
It's a wonderful story, and I give credit to Teresa Papanicolaou, who is the curator of this exhibition, and she is curator of American and European art at the Honolulu Art Museum. And it's her knowledge of both Hawaii and American art that she saw the value of this exhibition. So she organized it and invited us to be a venue, and we accepted immediately because it is so unusual. And what she saw in it is that here are two artists at mid-career, at the height of their fame, and they're being commissioned to come to Hawaii by the Dole Pineapple Company in 39 for O'Keeffe and by the Guggenheim Foundation for the National Park Service in 48 for Ansel Adams. And again in 57 and 58 he was there, and that time for the Hawaiian National Bank. And so the question is, how does this work where fine artists are engaged by commercial people to create art for them? And the question is, does it affect their artwork? Does it affect their outlook on that artwork? And the exhibition answers a resounding no. Both artists rose to new situations in Hawaii, but brought the technique and their skills and their portfolios to create the art that we see in the museum. And for O'Keeffe, that is her modernist practice of drawing and painting. She sticks very close to what we know that her output is, and that is flowers and landscapes. But she got to the ocean, to a volcanic outcropping, a land bridge, a lava bridge around the ocean. And the ocean was coming in through the lava, and the lava bridge is highly textured from eruptions that hit the water and explode, and so it's very rough. And she was flummoxed about how to paint that. And you can see it, and I invite you to come take a look. It's O'Keeffe trying to figure out how you would paint lava, something she'd never seen before, and the ocean erupting through the lava. And for Ansel Adams, Teresa gave a great lecture and talked to us about their misgivings. For Ansel Adams, he is on the ship coming to Hawaii, and he's very nervous about what will he find there. And then he gets there, and he complains the sky isn't blue, the foliage is disappointing. And
because he's so used to the rugged West.
Yes, exactly. So, and in a similar way, he had to rise to it. And I now know his complaint about the color of the sky has to do specifically with how his zone system work, and that the blue is a very specific color by which you can gauge other color values in black and white photography. So he didn't know how to make his zone system work in a place where the sky wasn't as blue as he wanted it to be.
Which is very funny, because somebody who's making photographs in black and white complaining about how the sky isn't blue enough does sound a little odd.
Well, and without knowing the techniques of his zone system, at first I just thought, wow, this is really something that he goes expecting certain kinds of things. He also talked about the clouds were formless. And of course, there's a lot of humidity in Hawaii that he didn't find in the West. But he also rose to it. And in our last gallery, I really paid homage to both of them and how profoundly they work, because lava is not an easy thing to photograph. If you've ever traveled there, it reflects light because of the density of the color, but it'll also flatten out in a photograph. And so he had to learn how to adapt that textured surface in his zone system too, which he does beautifully. And by 1957-58, his whole zone is beautifully pictured in those photographs. So in one gallery, you can see how two really accomplished artists had to change their technique, change their perception of their own craft in order to depict something that was so exotic to both of them.
It's interesting to walk through the exhibit and to look at the catalog because, I mean, yeah, they rose to the occasion, but they also really started with what they already knew. So you've got your Georgia O'Keeffe painting flowers, whether they're desert flowers or Hawaiian flowers, and you've got Ansel Adams painting photographing what looks like, you know, little Protestant churches, and I don't know how anybody can make Hawaii look dry, but he manages to do so in different places. So, I mean, they do bring a lot of who they are to it.
Yes, and they bring their modernist project. For Ansel Adams specifically, it's much broader than O'Keeffe's foray, but he spent more time there, and he made repeated visits. He was very interested in the 50s to show a modern Honolulu and a modern Hawaii. So the agribusiness of pineapple and sugarcane, the military, which by that time had great installations there, but also the population who was going to school and being well-educated, and people who were succeeding and posing for him in front of their suburban houses. And this is something people don't think of Ansel Adams creating portraiture, and he does. The other thing that he did specifically that O'Keeffe did not do is that he goes out into the landscape and he looks at foliage, but he also looks very careful at the ancient carvings, petroglyphs. Unlike here, where petroglyphs are on the vertical surface of a cliff or a hillside, there they're on the ground, carved into the lava, and they're specifically outlined by leaves that have fallen into the crevices, and they're beautiful. So he brings together ancient and contemporary Hawaii, colonial Hawaii. The leaves that fall into one petroglyph are from a tree brought by the Congregationalists who first settled Hawaii from the West, and the missionaries who brought trees and flowers from other parts of the world.
It's also interesting to look at Adams' pictures from a perspective where we have a really different view of agribusiness than we did now, and we have a really different view of colonizing native people. Mm-hmm. So they look like something out of a totally different era, which they are.
Yes, and that's, I think, what the beauty of the organizer, Teresa Papanicolaou, brings to simply looking at Hawaiian art created there, because her labels, which are fully reproduced in our museum, point out exactly where Hawaii was in that process. This is, in O'Keeffe's case in particular, long before they were going to be a state, and that what she's looking at is still a colony of the United States. But by the time Ansel Adams comes, the pride of education and good jobs and an economy that is really producing is something that Ansel Adams pictures, that's very different from the exotic flora and landscape that O'Keeffe produced. But Teresa also points something else out, because she's a student of Hawaiian deco. She's also working on a show right now. So she's been ensconced in what's happening in Hawaii in the 30s in particular, and she points out that neither Adams nor O'Keeffe paint swaying palm trees or the silhouette of Diamond Head or Hula Girls, the kinds of kitsch that the tourist industry was producing about Hawaii at the time. Each of them really finds a natural world that they're really attached to, and it's profound, because in O'Keeffe's case, it took her to many of the outlying islands. The Dole Pineapple Company brought her to Oahu, the main island where Honolulu is, and thought that they could show her what she needed to know to paint a picture for them. But she took off on her own to Maui and went off to a sugarcane plantation. In fact, the lava bridge is a feature of the Maui landscape. And so there's a very particularity about what each of them found that was outside what a tourist would be searching out.
Now, O'Keeffe was only there that one time.
Yes.
And O'Keeffe and Adams were never there together.
That's right.
And O'Keeffe painted just under 20 paintings, and 12 of them are in the show.
Yes, yes.
How do they stand up to her Southwestern work?
It's really an amazing history, and it's new to me in particular. And these paintings were created on commission, and then the Dole Pineapple Company was going to take three of them as their commission. The following year, 1940, Alfred Stieglitz had a show of all of the Hawaii pictures, and they were reviewed in the New York papers and widely reviewed and received in a really profoundly positive way. And we know that the show was in February, which is about the time of our opening. And one of the reviewers talks about what a delight it was to walk into this room and see all these tropical images in the middle of winter in New York City. But for me, it's very interesting, having just had Georgia O'Keeffe in New Mexico in our galleries, we had one of her great cross paintings where she locates a cross in the landscape in front of Taos Mountain, which is not actually something that you can do. You can see the cross, which is still there, but Taos Mountain really isn't behind that cross. And in a similar way, she paints a heliconia flower, a big, beautiful red flower, which is one of the pictures that Dole purchased and kept as part of their commission. And Teresa, again, with her knowledge of Hawaii, points out that that heliconia flower is an isolated blossom. We're used to seeing that enlarged and on the surface of the canvas. But I could see immediately that behind it is a kind of seascape. But Teresa points out that that flower was held by the landscape of Western Maui, and you look out on Molokai and Lanai, two tiny little blue blips on the horizon of the ocean. So again, she's locating that flower very specifically. This is a flower that she painted in Maui. So she brings the same kind of perception and her same kind of modernist composition to Hawaii with her. It just takes a local person to see what that means to someone who in Hawaii could identify that location so specifically.
Ansel Adams and Georgia O'Keeffe, although they weren't working in Hawaii together, but they were friends.
Yes.
And did they influence each other, do you think?
I don't know how to quite answer that question, but I can tell you what I've learned from this exhibition. Once again, this is a tribute to Teresa Papanicolaou's work. Hiring Anne Hammond to write an essay for the catalog, and Teresa contributed an essay to the catalog, what they both bring together is how influential Stieglitz was on both of them. So there's a shared sense of value about an idea of expressing the power of a place visually so that you have an emotion when you come to that they've set up through their visual artwork. And that they both had a deep reverence for nature. And I don't think anybody doubted that. But what I think this show brings out, and Teresa captures that in the catalog essay, is the power of that environment, how both of them felt overwhelmed by it but stuck with it to try and find it. For instance, you've seen it, a couple of the images of the foliage that Ansel Adams create. It's as if there's a light box behind that work, because in black and white photography, he takes very colorful foliage and reduces it into a grayscale, but that white outline of each leaf just makes the image radiate. It's incredible.
The exhibition is Georgia O'Keeffe and Ansel Adams, The Hawaii Pictures. We're talking to curator Carolyn Kastner at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, and this exhibition has a very nice catalog that goes with it.
It is. It's a beautiful catalog because, of course, the pictures are beautiful that these two artists created, but it's also a profound contribution to American modernism. Two essays in the catalog frame O'Keeffe and Adams in the unusual circumstance of being under commission. But by comparing the two of them over time and at different moments in time, Papanicolaou, the curator, creates a moment of insight into their creative processes that couldn't be done by just looking at either one of them alone. So the comparison between these two artists is profound.
Carolyn Kastner, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we'll see you over at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum.
I welcome all of you to come take a look, and thank you for inviting me, Mary Charlotte.